Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Inside Art Scroll, where the books you read and the people who write them come to life. Today, I am privileged to be joined by Rav Chaim Aryeh Zev Ginsberg, author of the brand new Shailos U'Tshuvos Divrei Chachamim. Thank you, Rabbi Ginsberg, for being here.
An honor.
You know, I introduce this program as speaking to people who write the books. Now, this isn't a book. This is a chash of a sefer. And it's unique that Art Scroll has published this because it's an all-Hebrew sefer.
Right.
And there are only select personalities who are zeicha to publish Hebrew Svarim under the Art Scroll umbrella. And here you are with this expanded edition of Shailos U'Tshuvos Divrei Chachamim, a wealth of information of decades and decades of Shailos U'Tshuvos that you yourself heard and received from Gedolei Hador. So first of all, mazel tov.
Thank you.
On the release.
It's
a big achievement. I know you told me off camera how much time you spent on this, literally years.
Correct.
Years pouring over the tshuvas and so on and so forth. So take our viewers back to the genesis of this sefer and how it started and how you established close relationships with the Gedolim who are quoted in this sefer. And I'll just mention quickly, Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Shach, Reb Yashiv, Rav Scheinberg. You'll tell me if I left out any other prominent personalities.
Shlomo Zalman, Orbach,
Stipler. So how did this whole project start?
Okay. It's really started not a handful of years ago, but a long time ago. When I was really, I would say it started at the age between 14 and 16. Mm-hmm. And I explain in the sefer itself. I had a Rebbe who was, he was the Mashgiach in Yeshiva Chafetz Chaim. His name was Rav Chaim Shmuel Neumann, Zechonu Tzadik Levracha. And I was a young boy, I grew up in his home. One of his sons is my oldest, dearest friend. And we decided, you know, we should learn together. And I was very honored. I was a high school boy, and all of a sudden, the Mashgiach wants to learn with me, prepare to share with me. So for about 2 years, from the age of 14 to 16, we learned 2-3 times a week, mostly in his house, in his home, sometimes early in the morning. And it was a great experience. But Rabbi Neumann had his hobby in life was halakha and getting to know the Gedolim, meeting them, asking shaylos to the Gedolim. There was a small group of Talmidei Chacham Muflagim that would go to Rav Moshe every Friday, every Erev Shabbos, and they would, after davening and MTJ, ask him shaylos and learn from his adracha. Some of Rav Moshe's closest Talmidim, biggest Talmidim, he was one of them. And, of course, with Rav Henoch Leibowitz, who was his Rebbe, and there was Shiva Chafetz Chaim. And he would go and he would come back enthused and energized. And pretty much every single time he would come in, and before we start learning, he would just, with excitement, he would share with me what he heard. Most of the time I didn't even understand what he was talking about. I didn't know the sugyas, I didn't know the topics that he was referring to, but he would tell me, and this is what Rav Moshe said, this is what he heard from the Rosh Yeshiva. And the excitement in him was incredibly infectious. So I think that probably generated with me a great interest and desire to do a kind of similar thing, to learn halacha and to see what the Gedolim have to say. But then he set me up, and that changed my entire life. I went to Eretz Yisrael when I was 16 years old to learn in Yeshiva Chafetz Chaim, and I was never there before. This was in 1974. I went to Pesach Zman in 1974. And I was there maybe 2 weeks, and I get a letter from Rabbi Neumann. The old days they used to send, there was no email, there was no phones, it was the old type of, you write on each side of it, those overnight, those airmails that they used to have, those international letters. And he sent me with a request. And he says, and he explained the following situation. In yeshiva, he was the one who dealt with all the shilas that people would come to him. And there was a kol fellow came to him with a very sad story that his wife was now expecting the third child, but she had miscarried the earlier two ones, and now she was pregnant the third time. And she was incredibly stressed and panicking that it would happen again. and she heard from somebody that there was a mekubel in Eretz Yisrael who gives water to women that are expecting, and it's a shmir. You drink this water, you make a bracha. It's a shmir on not having a miscarriage. She told her she needs to add that water, and it was like weighing on her that this was the one thing that was going to help protect her. Husband didn't know what he's talking about. Never heard this thing, and he went to the Rabbi Naiman. This told him the situation. And what should I do? My wife is like, so he said, well, I'm going to get you the water. We have to give it to your wife. That's what she needs. We're going to get her that water. And I know someone who's going to do it. And he sent me this letter that I should please go and get this water. I said, what are you talking about? So I made some inquiries, and this was referring to, at the time, to the Babi Sali, Zichrono Letzadik Livracha, in the Tivot. Those days, Yerushalayim to Netivot was about a 6-hour bus ride. And go there, I didn't know what I'm supposed to do. I didn't speak a word of Hebrew. I just got off the boat. So I went to Mameshkiach of the yeshiva. There was Avram Kinarik, Zichrono Livracha. And I said to him, showed him the letter. I said, I need to do this. So he said to me, you're going to entire day, 6 hours back to come back. Like, how could you do that? So I said, it's a chesed to this woman who's waiting, and Rabbi Naiman asked me to do it. So he was a small man, he was a short stature, and he said to me, and forget, I'm too small to carry on my shoulders this decision to let Shiva Bacher take an entire day, at least one day, if not more, to go and do this. It's a chesed, yes, but I was too small. I said, so what should I do? He said, go to Rav Yashav and ask him what to do. I said, who's Rav Yashav? I never heard his name. And by the way, at that time, 99% of the world didn't know Rav Yashav.
This is in the 70s.
This is in 74, with just the inner circle of Talmidei Chacham Yerushalayim. No Americans that came to Eretz Yisrael would go to Rav Yashav. No one ever heard of him at the time. I said, what's Rav Yashav? Who's Rav Yashav? He's a Pasek Adar. I said, well, where would I find him? In Mei Yisharim. I had no idea where Mei Yisharim was. I've never been there before. I didn't know anything. So he said, during lunchtime, I'm going to send one of the older Bachrim to take you to Rav Yashav. I said, how do I even communicate with him? He said, I didn't speak Hebrew. I can speak Yiddish to him. So I just thought I was intrigued by the idea. I went, and he took me, went to Mei Yisharim. Just walking the streets of Mei Yisharim was, to me, a step into a different time zone.
Sure.
You know, I was like, the whole experience was. And we go into Rav Yashav's home. In those days, there was no appointment. You just walk right into the house. We came in and sitting there learning. And I was so taken with him. When he looked up at us, it's a kedusha on his face. I was just like, I was speechless for me. And I presented the question. And I explained to him what happened. And I go, and my mashgiach said that he can't take upon that Christ. He said, you're the man. I should go to you. What should I do? So Rav Yashav took the question very seriously. And he said to me, I don't know this individual personally. There is a thing in Chazal that tzaddik goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yikayim. If a tzaddik says something, you do it. And his word, Hashem fulfills it. Mm-hmm. I don't know who this person is personally. I never met him, never learned with him, never heard a share from him to tell you that is nichlal, what Chazal say tzaddik goes there. But I'll tell you an Eitz HaTova. There's someone in Bnei Brak, a Yid, who's nichlal in what, inclusive, when Chazal says how it goes, they're referring to that person. And his name is the Stipler Gaon. And it's only an hour away by a cab. You could take a shevet for an hour. You can go there and back.
His mechutin.
So I didn't know it at the time.
Uh-huh.
And he said to me, if you go to him, he says, I would tell you, and he tells you, drink this cup of water in the Bia Skula, I would suggest you don't leave over one drop. So, Stipler, everybody knew of, every yeshiva bracha knew of the Stipler, and I said to him, well, that's great, but I understand that he doesn't hear, that he's hard of hearing, he's deaf, so how am I going to communicate with him? I'll give you a letter. And Elisha sat down to get a letter out, and wrote a letter, introduction for me to go in. And he gave me the letter. Only after I walked out and I looked at the letter and I saw Mukutani, I realized it's a Mukutanim. I didn't even know at the time. Anyway, I came back, I told him Mashkiach. He says, go to the
Stipler.
Go to the Stipler. 100% you should go to the Stipler. You have a psak from the God of Adar from the Yashav. So I come to the house. I went to Bnei Brak. I come to the house. I get the rector where his disciple lives. I come into the house and I knock on the door, and his daughter answered. He's not seeing anybody today. So I took out the letter and I showed the letter. She took the letter. She closed the door and she waited outside a few minutes. All of a sudden the door opened. The disciple was by the door holding the letter. Come inside. And the best way I explained, I wrote down and I explained to him. So he said, I'm very shvach. I'm very weak. I don't really have a koyach to give a bracha. So go to my son. This is 1974. So I said, your son? My favorite son. So like, I said, Rabbi Yosef said, you're the man. Like, what do you mean, the son? Like, he went, you. Go to my son, his brachas are mekuyam. Told me this in 1974. So he had his grandson who lived with him to walk me over to where Reb Chaim was. And I went there the first time I met Reb Chaim. It was, again, you walked right into the house and just sit down with him, talk to him like it was like anybody in the street. And told him the situation. My father said, he gave a bracha. So, and on that cab ride back to Yerushalayim, I was hooked. I said, to have an opportunity to interact with these incredible, special, holy people, 16-year-old boy from America, was able to go in and out, interact, and ask shailas. I said, I'm going to do this again.
What did he say about the water, by the way?
Who
Reb Chaim, did he say anything about
Chaim
the water?
So Reb Chaim didn't even know. We just got the idea that gave a bracha.
I gave a bracha.
It ends up that I was Baruch Hashem Zoka to get a bracha from the stipend for her, from Reb Chaim, and I did, someone was going, I did get the water and was able to send the water. There's an epilogue to the story, by the way, that we have to jump about 24, 25 years. I get an invitation to a wedding. And I don't know neither the Chassan family or the Kalas family. I just don't know who they are. So, and then there's a note inside. Please, they look forward. Please, I should be there for the chuppah. Like, now I'm intrigued. I mean, I don't know the name. I don't know the cousin, another Kala, another families. I have, Baruch Hashem, I go to a lot of simchas. And with a note to come, I just felt I had to show up. So I come. And I come to the cousin's room. Sometimes maybe you don't recognize a name. I look at the cousin, look at the father. I go into the Kala, look at the Kala, look at Herma. Now I'm really intrigued. The only one I knew in the whole place was the caterer. I knew the caterer. So anyway, I sit down. All of a sudden, for Bracha Achrita, I get called up for Bracha Achrita. I was like, what is going on over here? And I go up, and as I go up to the, and I get, take the coast to make the bracha, the mother of the chassan steps in front of me and says, do you know who the chassan is? So I'm sorry, I don't. She says, the chassan was the child that was born when you sent the water from
the
Baba Sali and the brachas that you got from Reb Chaim, from a stipend of Chaim. Baruch Hashem, this was the son that was born.
Wow.
And he's getting married tonight. And we wanted you to come to Chusli, you should get a bracha. Baruch Hashem, they have other children also, you know, but I was absolutely, like, nothing to do with my schus, the schus of the Gedolei HaTorah. But so this Rabbi Neumann was really, and that's why this Sefer that I put out, and this is really, I'd done this many years ago, but his specific Sefer, Rabbi Neumann passed away maybe 10 years ago, that I have a little biography about him, a few pages written by his family about him, and quote some of the shilas that he heard from Rabbi Moshe, and it was all done because I really felt that he's the catalyst. He was the person who, you know, who I gave her that set me on this motion. And with that, going to Eretz Yisrael, I would go and go in and go out and ask shailas. And then it came for actually a period of about 18 months that I lived in Eretz Yisrael, that all the Americans from all the yeshivas would bring their shailas to me from the mayor, from Shiva Torah Skaim. Not that Torah Skaim didn't exist then, but it was that time the Shiva that America Mekas HaTorah, Torah Itri, they would come, bring me the shilas that the Berkham had, and I would go with those shilas, and I would go to ask the Gedolim. And I would ask the same Gedolim, the same question, different Gedolim, the same question, of Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yosher, of Scheinberg, to see how, you know, how each one thought. And then we go back, what about this? What about that? I can hear how they thought of the other's psak and back and forth. And everything that I went to, I wrote down.
And this was all when you were a bacher still?
Bacher, and yeah.
And then later as a younger man also?
Most of it when I was a bacher.
Wow.
And everything I went to, I would write down.
I was going to ask you, when you came home, you would immediately sit down and write it down?
So first of all, when I was there, I always had, because it was Shabbos, I always had a pad and paper with me, and I would quickly like jot down the Rashi Prakim, and then I would write it. I would write it up as soon as I got back, sit down while it was still fresh. Often I went with tape recorders. Uh-huh. And the tape, and they'll play back the tape later. And a big thing was, when I was in America, when I would send back tapes of conversations with Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yasha, it was like a yom tov. To him, it was a yom tov. It was he had a suddus yom tov. He put on his Shabbos uniform, you know. He was so appreciative. But, so I would tape it. As a matter of fact, it's interesting, Rav Yasha, every time I go in, the Rebbetzin, Al HaShalom, would make me close a tape recorder. Her thing was that he'll go out on a tape something that he says right now, maybe a week from now, he had a different opinion, different change of heart, or a different. So she didn't want it to go out on a tape. She would, Yashav didn't mind. Mm-hmm. So I remember I came in one time on Motzei Shabbos, and I walked in, and he looks at me. Robertson's not here. You could put out the tape recorder, you know. Uh-huh. So that was it. So I was zocher to actually not just to go ask, to actually have a weekly session with Rav Yashav, maybe Motzei Shabbos.
Wow.
And did that for about 13 months. And
how did just, that to, just to present Shilas?
Yeah, so what happened was, how this started, so I would go regularly to present Shilas. So I was often there Thursday evening. I would buy Thursday evening, discussing different Shilas in Hilchos Shabbos, and I mentioned a Shila about Rav Moshe's Chumrah on Shabbos clocks. So I mentioned to him, so, and what Yashav thought about it. No such Ramesha. So I said, Ramesha writes that he's Asher Shabbos clocks. He would even Asher it for lights, but because the Kaisos already know it, Heter, he doesn't want to do that, but otherwise he would, Ramesha writes it. And there's no such Ramesha. He said it was such, whom? I was like, I walked out, and go back to yeshiva, and I start rummaging through my notes, and Ramesha said it, but it wasn't, now it's in Igros Moshe.
Right.
But in those years, it wasn't in the new volume yet. It was, the MTJ used to have, Tiferes Yerushalayim, used to put out four times a year a book that's called Kol, the Kol would put out Chidushei Halakas from Moshe, and others from Kuntres. It's called Torah Hara, I think it was called Torah Hara. So in there was this piece of Moshe wrote about Shabbos clocks. Like I said, later on, it was a bigger piece that was put into the Igros Moshe. So I saw it there. Okay, I have to show it to them, but how do I have it? I made calls all over, trying to find someone that had it. I remembered that of Gavriel Beer, of Hashalom, who was the father of today, Eli Beer from
Hatzalah.
Hatzalah, it was his father. He was a Sarum collector. I remember that he had it. I used to go to him for Shabbos. I remember I sang over, I saw by him. I called him up, yes, come pick it up. Friday morning, I ran to Beit Vegan, where he lived. I picked it up, and I ran to Rav Yashav's house. Now, Friday afternoon, everyone knows, Rav Yashav was totally inaccessible. He locked himself in Ol Sero, the shul, to learn. The world could be an earthquake. He couldn't disturb him. So I came to the house. I said, you know the Rav can't. Is not to. So I said, Rebbetzin, he wanted to see this. Mm-hmm. I have to show it to him. So she said, okay. She made a mistake. She said to me, okay, leave it here, mark of what you want to show, Shulchan Aruch Shabbos, and come Matzei Shabbos and you can discuss it with him. Now Matzei Shabbos, it was Yedua, that was over Yashav's family time. Any of the relatives that wanted to visit with him, family in Yonim, Matzei Shabbos, everyone, it was closed, the door was closed. Mm-hmm. His brother-in-law, Rabbi Levine's son, who was very close to him, come every Matzei Shabbos and talk to him. So it was closed. She invited me to come into that door on Matzei Shabbos. That was her mistake. Mm-hmm. So. Anyway, I came back Matzei Shabbos, and I walked the door. So she says to me, "You disturbed my husband's whole Shabbos menucha." I said, "What? Like what did I do?" You know. So she goes. So I walk into Rav Yashav. He sits down. Says, "Very upset. Like you know, Taka Rav Moshe says it. He had a number of shailas on Rav Moshe's tshuva. Uh-huh. Very strong shailas." I quickly sat down, wrote down all the, six shilas that he had on Rav Moshe's tshuva. I quickly wrote them down, and later I wrote it up in a letter, I sent it to Rav Moshe. to Rav Moshe, the Rav Moshe's thing, to respond back. But anyway, so he started doing it. So, and he explained why he felt differently. And Rebbetzin brought his tea, and I said, I'm a Rav Malka. So I said to him, I have to ask the Rav, when I said to you, Rav Moshe said it, you were so, like, no. I said, Rav knows everything Rav Moshe says.
Yeah.
So he smiled, and he told me the most incredible story. Incredible story. He said he had heard of Rav Moshe, but he never saw anything from Rav Moshe. It was the first time in the 1950s, early 1950s, was it, or late 1940s, that Aaron came to Israel the first time, around Kotler. And he heard of Lakewood Rosh Hashiva in town. He was staying in a hotel. I went to the hotel, and I was based in Yerushalayim, had a very, very difficult gittin shayla, very difficult shayla. And I wanted to, I went to Rav Aaron had to say it. So I went to, and I came at that instant, and I presented Aaron the shayla. So Aaron listens very intently, and then he says, there's only one person in the world that can handle the shayla, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Come here, Retzel, we're going to call Rav Moshe Feinstein. He went to that time, there was a phone in his on the desk in his hotel room. He picked up and he called Rav Moshe. He's talking to the shayla Rav Moshe. Well, Yosha couldn't hear what Rav Moshe was saying, he was listening to Rav Moshe. And Rav Aaron's standing there. Rav Aaron was a zaken. Rav Aaron just slept across the world. So Eliyashiv was standing. So Eliyashiv came and brought a chair. He should sit down. And Aaron didn't sit down. So he waited a few minutes and felt maybe Aaron didn't realize the chair was there. So he took the chair and he pushed it a little bit against Aaron's leg so he should feel the chair. So sit down. Aaron just ignored the chair. And Aaron was on the phone for about 40 minutes. And when he finished, he turned to Eliyashiv. Like he sat down with like less kliches that he had, and he just collapsed into the chair. He told Yosha what Rav Moshe's kiddush was, the psak was in the shayla. So Yosha asked him, "Okay, thank you so much." He said, "But why didn't Rav Shiva sit down?" So he looked at him. "How are you talking? I'm talking to Rav Moshe. I should sit, talk to Rav Moshe Feinstein?
What?
Like, are you kidding? Like, how can I sit?" He says, when he walked out of that room and he stopped and he heard what Rav Aaron just told him. As what Rav Moshe must be, I made a commitment at that time that whatever Rav Moshe wrote, whatever I can get my hands on, I'm going to read. And he says, I became a baki in Igros Moshe, all Rav Moshe's, whatever Moshe wrote. And I knew that this shayla, Rav Moshe never wrote about it. He was right at the time. It wasn't in Igros Moshe.
Wow.
But that was the reverence that he had for Rav Moshe. And I remember I told this to Rav David Feinstein many, many years later. Yeah. He was so taken with that. I'm so appreciative of that. That Yashav appreciated.
And we know that Rabbi Yashav and Rabbi David had a tremendous relationship also. It's Rabbi Yashav held the... I think when Rabbi David would come... He would say that he had certain shilas that he was waiting to discuss with Rav David.
I once asked Rav David, he was in Eretz Yisrael, to go to Rav Yashav. He says, I go to him, disturb his learning. He's always learning. Why should I go disturb him? But ended up, he held him. But Rav David was so taken with this when I told him this thing, because how much of a reverence that Rav Yashav had for Rav Moshe. Wow. But that was it. So that incident, that going that first time, and first of all, Rav Yashav gave me this letter. The mistake that the stipler made was he gave me back the letter. So every time the next year and a half that I'd go to Bnei Brak and I'd go to the house, it was very hard to get to the stipler.
But you had that letter.
I always said the letter. They always let me into because of the letter. So I used that letter again and again and again, to go in. But I never felt like, you know what, I'm taking their time. I felt because I was gaining so much from it.
Right.
And I was paskening shilas for so many people and so many incredible, you know, like, and then I started recording it. But this was always done just for me, to share to Rabbi Naiman, to share with my chaverim, people that brought shaylos to. Never, this was like a hobby, became my hobby.
Right.
And without any intention of doing anything further about it. But what happened is that I was zokut to be one of the three designated drivers for Rabbi Yaakov. And I would drive, you know, Yaakov, and everything. I'd get a call, I'd come running from Queens with my car, and drive
up. So you were learning Yeshiva Chavetz Chaim?
I was Chaim in Queens.
And Rabbi Yaakov was Rosh Yeshiva in Tarvadas then?
No, then he was in Muncie. He was already retired.
He was retired.
It was Sofi Yamov. But he had like a few drivers. So I was one of the designated drivers, and I would get a call. Yaakov was going here to a chasana, to a this, to a some, to. So I would get to go. And so whenever I came, I would drive him. I used to have a comfortable car, and I had an armrest. And I used to put the old tape recorders, maybe you don't even remember that, but those little cassette recorders. Yeah,
sure.
I'm dating you, but do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember those. Okay. You're talking about the flat ones?
The flat ones,
That had like the six buttons?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Got a little cassette.
Pause, play.
Exactly. Right. Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of bulky. You.
So I used to put it underneath the armrest, and I would talk to Rav Yaakov while I was driving. And wow. It was always there. Clear tapes, and I had a lot of tapes. I gave it to many members of the family. I gave it to them many years later. But anyway, so one particular time, I still remember I was driving Rav Yaakov to Washington Heights for the Breuer's Levaya, So in the car, and we started talking about Shaduchim, and Rav Yaakov just began to, his heart just began to open up his heart. It was fascinating. He talked about his own personal challenges of his Rebbetzin. His first Rebbetzin was Nifteres, and then the years that he was single. It was 4 years till he remarried his Rebbetzin, right. Second Rebbetzin. And second Rebbetzin took such good care of him. He always credited, the family credited his Arichas Yamim to her. The second. Right. So he told me something incredible. He told me that that he had made a decision when his wife was Nifteres. He was 64. And he had one son, his youngest son, Rav Avram Zichrono Livracha, was still single. And he felt that my job right now is to marry off my son before I take care of myself. Mm-hmm. So I said, everything that the Rosh Yeshiva does in life is based on a chazal. What chazal did you base it on? He said, on a pasuk. I said, pasuk. He said, yeah, that Avram first went to find a wife for Yitzhak before he went and married the pasuk's lady, married Keturah, he married others. Uh-huh. He first wanted to find it. Now, so he first wanted to take care of Yitzhak. So I said, the Rosh Yeshiva bases his anhaga on a pasuk in Chumash. So he smiled and he said, but I made a mistake. It was a toast. I should have taken care of myself first. And I said, why does Rosh Yeshiva say that? So he said something incredible. He said, because the 4 years that I was, he called it Bengava Lagava, I went down Beruchi, Bekoichi, Ubegufi. I went down in every way and I never recouped it. So I said, the Rosh Yeshiva is married already 25 years, the second rabbi. I never was able to recoup what I lost during those years. It was difficult years. So I should have taken care of myself first, which is incredible. Anyway, other things like that, he told me so many other things. And it was so personal that I totally forgot the tape was there. We're pulling into Washington Heights, and everything. All of a sudden, click. And Vyak said, what was that? I said, I bet Mechila Rosh Yeshiva. I always tell the Rosh Yeshiva, I had to tape the conversation. I'm going to erase the tape. I'm going to take it out and erase it. So he didn't say anything to me first. And then a few minutes later, he says to me, you can leave it. He says, since the time that I'm olal daiti, I have my seichel, I never said anything that I have to take back. So you can leave it. You know, whatever I say, I don't have to take back anything I said that I have charata on. Mm-hmm. So he let me keep it. So, but the tape, so I tried everything to make sure. So anyway, so when I got back to Muncie, and I was driving, I took the Rosh Yeshiva to the door, I said, I have so many things, hashkafas and das Torah from the Rosh Yeshiva. I could fill a whole sefer with the Rosh Yeshiva's hashkafas. So he laughed, smiled and I left. The next day I get a call from one of the people who was to take care of him. Ryaka wants me to come to see him. He wants to see me. Now, I was taken aback because Ryaka, whenever I would say, I'm coming, you come all the way from Queens, Bill and Tyra, what are you coming to stop an old man? He'd always push me away. Here, calling me to come, middle of the day, and I realized he probably had charata that I have that tape. So I brought the tape with me to give it back to him if he wanted. Mm-hmm. I come into the house. Rosh Yeshiva wanted to see me? He says, yes. You know, you said something to me at the end about, you know, hashkafas. I have so many hashkafas I can make it safer. You know, B'nai Tyra don't ask Shilas from Gadol. They ask Shilas on a chicken, on a mara. They don't ask Hashkafas anymore from Gadoli Torah. I want you to write up whatever you heard from me. I'll help you put into a sefer.
Even halacha, you had no problem.
So we didn't, it was more like Hashkafa. That just started. Mm-hmm. The first time I even, like, it was a joke. Like, what? And I said, okay, and I'll work with you. I went home, I started saying, you know, I have so much from so many gedolim, it's a shame. Mm-hmm. Now, in those years, there was no sfarim for the Yeshiva, Shlomo Zalman, there was nothing. Right, there was nothing printed. And I had all these psukim from them. So I jumped on a plane, I went to Eretz Yisrael. And I went to all the gedolim. Stapel was no longer alive. I went to everybody and asked them, they knew me, that I've been by them so many times, can I put this in a safe? Would you work with me? Mm-hmm. Some were very, very 100%. Rabbi Yosha said to me, "You've been by me. I know that you're by Hasamka, you're a Neman, but I'm not going to, you don't have the time. Don't want to read what I wrote from him. Mm-hmm. But you should find a Gavra Rabba that will read it over. That makes sure."
But the principle of writing over what he said to you is fine with.
He said he's fine with, but as far as he's not going to do it, it's built over for him. But I have to find a Gavra Rabba to do it. But he meant obviously Yira Tamachachem. But I did better than that. One of the people that I developed incredible kesher to, I guess really because of my father was so close, Talmud of his, was Rav Scheinberg, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg in Torah. He used to be the Mashkiach in Chavetz Chaim before he opened up Torah for 25 years. My father was a Talmud of his then. So he became a real Iskarvist, very close to him. And I went with him hundreds and hundreds of shaylos. So I went to Rav Scheinberg and he said, 100% I'll work it out. So I said, would the Reshiva also agree to read over everything for everybody? Yes, 100%.
Really? Wow.
The Akaras HaTov that I have to Rav Scheinberg will never be able to repay. He read over my Sefer three times, cover to cover.
The
first one.
The original volume.
Original one.
Which was published when?
Published in 1986.
And it was obviously much smaller than this.
Smaller than this. That had 999 Shailas, Kol Dalakha Kishnok, and Ashkafa. Total of 999. This has about 2,000. Wow. It was also written in a different format.
And this has Hashkafa also, right?
There Hashkafa, much more. There was much more there. And what we did there in that Sefer, so I wrote it up, and then I had Rav Scheinberg. He was going from Merrick there to Shirel. He read it throughout the entire plane ride, made dozens and dozens and dozens of hours, maybe hundreds of hours. Mm-hmm. I got back the thing, I redid it, and then on the way back from Shirel to here,
you gave him the revised.
I gave him the revised thing. He read it again, made more corrections, and said, don't put this one in, this is the, you know. It was not just, it's halakha, yes, not, or sometimes a maramokum, this comes from this source, that source, which I didn't have. But sometimes it don't put this shayla in, it's a mm-hmm. little too, you know, it's going to be too controversial. And then when I finished everything, he read it a third time. So I have an incredible amount of cards I talked to him. So that Sefer came out, Zundel Berman published it at the time, in 1986, and it came out, he printed 5,000 copies. He printed in Eretz Yisrael, he said 25, he's going to do 25 there, and 25 will bring to America. But it went so quickly that he only brought in 1,500 to America. It was gone in Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. It came there, it was gone before I had a chance. It didn't even make the Sfarim stores. It went very quickly. Because the usher of Shlomo Zalman, except for Shmir Shabbos, Kalchasa, who knew where Shlomo Zalman's Pesachim? Everyone knew. So I got hundreds of letters, both L'shvach L'gnai, people criticizing, Yosha never said it, Moshe never said it, this one never said it, or fantastic, you know, it was like back mm-hmm. and forth. So I said, so Zundel wanted to reprint it right away. I said, no, I want to incorporate all these things into mm-hmm. those. And then life got busy, and opened the shul, and it was busy as a Rav, and life of family, and involved in so many things, Sarchi Tzibur, that it just... The joke in my family was that every summer I said, okay, I'm going away to the country. I had a briefcase with the Sefer, with all my letters that I got and all my things. I took it with me. I'll sit down over the summer and I'll do it. I always brought it back, the same briefcase, you know, unopened. You know, like it was never. And then what happened was that the Sfarim started coming out. Well, Yashiv's grandchildren, his nephews and his nieces, and Shlomo Zalman, hundreds and hundreds of these Sfarim. And I said, so like, it's sort of like, who needs it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then someone calls me up, a Yid Talmud Chacham, who lives in Lakewood. He said, he's a big Baal Halacha. And he sends me a list of the Sfarim that he took out from all of Shlomo Zalman Yosha's families that put out Sfarim that have the bottom where they got it from Divrei Chachamim, from my
really?
Sefer. 313 quotes. So I called up Zilberstein. This goes back a few years ago. I said, Yitzhak, I don't understand. When I buy a sefer from the Yashiv Shlomo Zalman's grandson, the things he heard from the Zayda, but they quote my sefer. Like, what's, he starts laughing. It shows that they all trust you. Like,
what?
It's all trusted. Great. No. Then he told me, I quoted you once, and he quoted me, where in the sefer he quoted my sefer also. So I said, okay, I really have to do it. But it's required. Now I want to go through all the sefer that came out from all the different poskim to go through and see
if it's consistent with what you heard.
Exactly right. Uh-huh. No, it's like when I wrote a thing.
And what was it? Would you say it was by and large?
It was by and large, but not just by and large. Example, I wrote a thing, one particular sefer that Posek, a big Posek in America, who passed away just a few years ago, wrote, Moshe never said something like that, would never say something like that. But I heard from Moshe. Uh-huh. So now we went through, there's two sfarim that came out from Moshe afterwards that has that shaila, not mm-hmm. for me, that someone else asked him, that's brought down. And then the Shevet HaLevi has the same psak. Mm-hmm. Rav Shlomo Zalman, is one of his sfarim quotes that Rav Shlomo Zalman told his nephew that Rav Moshe told him the same thing. So all of a sudden, it had teeth to it, a life to it. This required an incredible amount of work, and who could do that work? And then COVID came. And I almost, you know, was not here. I was as close to the next world as you can get. And I could, Nisim, my name is Chaim, was added to me.
Right, sure.
So what happened was when I came home, the hospital, I was 6.5 weeks in the hospital, then I came home, and I was in a downstairs in a room that they set up for me. I couldn't walk at the time. And after, it was about 3 or 4 weeks I was home, finally was able to go upstairs. My study is upstairs. My wife said to me, you know, why don't you go into your study for a little bit? And I just didn't, wasn't ready. I just went to, you know, go into your study. So I went into my study, sat down at my desk. I have, Baruch Hashem, a very big library, a few thousand sfarim. And all of a sudden, as I sat down at my desk, straight center, I see my Divrei Chachamim in the shelf. And I look at it and I said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe it gave me back my life so that I could finally do this safer, mm-hmm. get this safer out. I almost would not have had a chance. I never would be printed again because this was something that was done years ago. I used to get every year a few dozen requests from people. Can I get a copy? Is there any way I can make a photocopy? You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe this is the opportunity. Maybe this is what I need to do now. And so I reached out to a few people. One was a chaver of mine, a big Talmid Chacham, and I said, listen, this is my idea, this is my dream, this is what I got to do. And we spent the better part of over 2 years, almost 2.5 years, started from scratch. Mm-hmm. So rather than a shaila tshuva form, we did it more of like, to make it a little bit more readable, more accessible, like the heading of what's about. It makes it just easier to read, it reads better. And then we went through every shaila, both in halacha and hashkafa, looked at everything we could find mm-hmm. that was printed in the last 50 years to see if anybody corresponds. And there's a tremendous amount of stuff that we found. The ha'oros here are extensive on some of the shilas. I can have 2 pages of ha'oros on one shila to show how much teeth went into this, how much background is into this particular shila. And then while doing this, I said to myself, wait a second, Rabbi Neiman, who's the one who was the person who got me into this whole thing, he was nifter. He left 10,000-20,000 shilas that he heard directly from all the gedolim. I said, it's a shame, where is it? It's all lost. So we hired somebody to go through, everything was computerized, pick out. But not things that he quoted I heard from Rabbi Bluth or Rabbi First or Tamid and Rabbi Moshe who told him certain things, only what he heard directly. Mm-hmm. And then we sifted out of those, there were a few thousand of them, what's over the socher? He had a lot of things in that he quoted me that I told him. But pick out things that were fascinating, that are not written all over, that people want to hear. And we incorporated those as well. The ones from Moshe, I think I added another 115 shahs from Moshe that he heard directly that are incredible. Mm-hmm. Of course, from my Rebbe Rav Henoch, Ashkafis that I thought were just so, eye-opening. As a matter of fact, one of the editors, we did it to get this thing done, it's a bracha. I published my book, my first book in art school in September, but that's an English book, mm-hmm. a combination of articles for Chizah called Rays of Hope. Baruch Hashem has really made the rounds, although people have told me how much Chizah they got from it. But that's art school, that's what they do. They don't really do Hebrew Sfarim, except Moshe or David or David Cohen. But I spoke to Gedalia, he thought that this was something that really would be an incredible addition to the Klal Yisrael. But he said, I'm not equipped to do the editing and we'll do the publishing and the printing and distributing. Mm-hmm. So we picked out an incredible company called Ali Zayed, became a very good chaver of mine, Rav Shimon Shemanowitz, who's the head of it. And they were professionals, and they worked on this for better part of over a year, and made comments as well, and really helped us go through and sift the. So he had comments made at one point that, like Dashkov, that he didn't really know Rav Hanuk Leibowitz, Shirvah Kovetzkayim, and just seeing some of the Hashkafis from Rav Hanuk that are so eye-opening, he said, I hope everybody reads it. You know, like, so we picked out the best of the best, and that's what we put together, and it came out to be close to 2,000, you know, Hashkafis, Shilas.
I wanted to ask you quickly in the few minutes that we have left, what interesting Shiloh could you share with us? Give us a little teaser of a fascinating Shiloh that you have in here.
Let me give you a fascinating Shiloh that is both shows the godless in halacha and maybe even more the godless of the tzidkus and the righteousness of the Agudoli Yisrael. One particular Shiloh that's in the book. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. There was a girl, a Balas Tshuva from Neve Yerushalayim, and a boy, a Bal Tshuva from Or Sameach. And Shidduch made, and they were engaged, they were getting married. It was 2 weeks before the wedding, and the boy's father came to, not from at all, no shaykes to anything, but came to spend the last 2 weeks for his son and come for the wedding and get to spend a little quality time with his son. And he comes and he meets Ramel Weinbach, and in the discussion it came out that he's a Kohen, which means the chassans are Kohen. But the Kala, her mother was a Gioris. She was, all of a sudden,
that's a problem.
A real problem, 2 weeks before the chasana. So Mendel Weinbach ran to the Rav of Yerushalayim, Zolti, and presented the Shaila to him. He said, Shver Shaila, give me 3 days. On the third day in the morning, Mendel Weinbach was woken up by a Ramco, a car going around with a, announcing everyone to come to Levaya in the morning, Rav Zolti's Levaya. He had a heart attack, he was nifter. Zolti went to Levaya, and Zolti's son came over to him at Levaya and said, please come to the house after Levaya, I have something for you.
Told Rav Weinbach.
Weinbach comes to the house, and there's a letter for him on the table, addressed to him, a tshuva. I think it was 11-page tshuva, if I remember correctly. And lengthy tshuva, and he's matir, they should go ahead. But was this final? Was this, like, he didn't know. Like, it wasn't, he didn't, Zolti Nebuch's not here. So he took it, went to Rabbi Yashav. Comes to Rabbi Yashav, and he brings it, and he tells the Shaila, he shows the tshuva. Yashav reads it. Now, he held the velt of Rav Zolti, but you're asking me the Shaila. I hold that it's also they can't get married. So what do you do with this chas and kala? What do you do? So he said, okay, the only one person that we can ask the Shaila to, and if he paskins mutter, not only will I accept it, I'll leave him a Masada Kedusha. And that's what Moshe Feinstein. Now, okay, with America, how are we going to get to, you know, we need a shliach. I happen to have been standing by Rabbi Yashav talking over Shilas with him. He said, he's the shliach, he'll be the shliach. I said, shliach, Rabbi. I was going home in 2 weeks. The Yom was ending, but I'm giving a share. I just can't. What do you mean? Like, you're going to shliach. You're the shliach. Go. I ran back to Chavetz Chaim. I went to my shkiach or Kinnarik. I said, Rabbi, I just got, you know, told him that happened. The Yosef Paskins, you're going. You go. I'll take over your share. You go. I threw things together. Ran to the airport. Got a ticket and ran. As I landed in Kennedy, I took a cab straight to Ramosha's house. The minyan was starting. I got to Ramosha's house. Walk in. I told him what's going on the Shaila. Yosha told me to come, and I take out the tshuva to give him the tshuva. He pushes it away. Now look at it. He's asked questions. Father, from, or not from, the grandfather. And where is she from? I had the background. The mother was from, the grandmother was from this town in Germany. So Moshe says, Mutalach, Mutalach. I said, Mutalach. Moshe's shita is, no Cheskes Kohen today. And Moshe said, that town in Germany where the grandmother came from, they were mostly Reformed. They were 99% Yidden. There were just, many of them were like, Reformed, became Reformed.
So it broke the chain of Kuna.
Book of Tikkun, and she's not really yours because Mistam, she's a Jewish anyway, because the grandmother came from that place in Germany, which is Mistam, she's Api Rov, she's Jewish. They just were very, like, reform, so, you know, but...
So she might not even be a Gyarist.
Gyarist, and I'm going, Mutter.
Wow.
So I got, I want to go. So I'm leaving.
You need plates for that. Wow.
That's right, Moshe. So I'm about to leave. Go to my house. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to go home. I just got back. I'm going to go home and I'll call. Kasakala waiting. Call right now.
Ramosha told you.
Take the phone and call. There was no cell phones those days. But call right now. Take Ramosha's phone. I called up. Sak, okay. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, they got married. Yosha was a Sak Dushan. So that wasn't the end of the story. First of all, it's a great story. Wow, what a chiddush, what unbelievable. But
I mean, did Ramosha have a look at Rav Zolti's
no,
tshuva?
Because he held, this is what he held, and that was it. Eliyashu didn't agree to that psak of this kind Kaskas Kohen. He didn't agree to much of psak. But so anyway.
And yet he was Masada Gedushin by the wedding.
So it was maybe 9 or 10 months later, I had a chance to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and I come in, I straight to Rav Eliyashu's house, as I always did, and I come in, and I walk in, oh, the shliachs do, the shliach. So I said, Lumo and I need Tzarek, Rebbe. I have to understand. I understand Ramesh is the place like Adar, Makabo Ramesh says. But why did the Rav feel that's Mistadik Dushan? Rav doesn't hold it, that psak. So he said to me as follows. He said, because there's a shtickle tumul about it. I'm afraid that 25, 30 years from now,
they'll be mutzi laws on
they'll have
couple.
A child, right? They will have a child that's ready to a chasana, and they're going to say, no, because maybe yichus, there's something with the yichus that we're not so sure. We had heard something. When they find out that Eliyashu was like Dushan, no one's going to have any shilas. That's why I did it. So that no one down the road, no one will have any possible error against the Shidduch. That is, these are the gedolim that I was in awe of, both in learning from them, halacha, hashkafa, as we see here, there's so many things in the sefer that are going to be eye-opening, I really believe, but not learn from them on huggers.
So I want to say, you put out here a sefer of a couple of thousand tshuvas. Really, what I want to read is your book on the on your zichrinus of your encounters with the gedolim. That should be a book. That's a book. Based on our conversation for the last 45 minutes, there's a book there.
Definitely. But
about your encounters
them,
with gedolim.
A lot of them have in here.
A lot of it is in
here. The shilas, I did a little bit like that, but not
a little the historical context.
A little bit. Not as much as, but a little
now
bit.
Now, I know in this sefer, you did not include tshuvas from Reb Chaim Kanievsky.
Right.
And who else did you not include yet?
So in this sefer, I used whatever was done the previous generation,
right.
and things that I had even that I didn't include in the sefer, and of course the things were by Naiman I got from him,
right.
But and a little bit of Reb David, very little, and very
Reb
little Reb
Feinstein.
Reb Feinstein, very little Reb Chaim. But in the last 25 years, the two people that I went to mostly was for halacha was Reb David Feinstein and Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and hashkafa a tremendous amount of Aaron Liebsteinman. I did not put those into the sefer.
So is that a chelik beis at some point?
We started working now.
We're working on it already.
We started working on it, putting it together, and we hope Beshem, and be able to.
I just hope it takes shorter than this. than
believe
this one.
Me, not as much as I hope.
But I want to, you could be mavarich ala mugmar, as they say, when you put out a sefer like this. It's an incredible achievement for B'nai Torah of all types. It's an oinig ruchni to go through. It's enjoyable.
Absolutely.
Shilas across the spectrum, and it's written so clearly. And like you mentioned, Reb Shimon Shemanowitz and his team at Machon Ali Zayis, they put out a beautiful product here.
Right.
And
I'm indebted to Artscroll and to everybody.
And to the Artscroll team for bringing it to the finish line.
Right.
And there's so much here. You can't go through it al regal achas. I'm speaking of myself. There's so much more to go through, but we look forward to doing so, and we encourage viewers to go out and get the copies before it sells out, just like your first volume that eventually went out of print.
Right.
People should get a hold of it. I think they'll benefit from it tremendously. And we're grateful to you that despite the passage of years and the amount of work that it took, that you were able to finally see this to fruition. And we bench you. We continue the Hatzlach in your Abatza Satayra, in your writing of Svarim and books that inspire people, and of course, good health.
Amen. That's why I just want to come. That's why the Ha'orah section here, which is significant, we called it Tzioni Chaim. And the reason I did that was because the added name that that I was given was Chaim.
Right, right.
And
was that Reb Chaim who said to add your name? Where did that come from?
That came from Reb David Feinstein. Reb Chaim. Yeah, David Feinstein. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. So the name, like, I felt that the whole kind of thing what pushed me now is, like I said, post COVID, realizing I almost never would have had that opportunity. It would have been lost forever. Because uh-huh. Kashbohi gave me an opportunity. I want to, every time someone learns the Sefer, every time I look at the Sefer and it's Yitzion Chaim, remember this great Nes that Kashbohi did for me. And I hope that, you know, it's a schus for Klai Yisrael as well.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again for being
thank
here.
You. Thank you. Thank you so much.